Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
There was a lady named Grace Davidson, and she took her four-year-old granddaughter to, you know, big church for the first time. And kids, you know, in some churches, they come in and they don't even come into the worship part of things, the music part. They just go straight into their Sunday school programs, their children's church. And so they have no idea what it's like to be in big church. And so she's sitting down and she's just fascinated by everything that's going on. You know, this little girl, a little four-year-old, she's listening to the music and then she's listening to the message from the pastor and she's doing really good at keeping all of her questions to herself and just sitting there and listening really, really well. Until the pastor said at the end of his prayer, "We thank you, Lord, for your presence." The little girl's eyes just flew open and she leaned over to her grandma and she said, "He has presence?" I think that this little girl isn't too far off. You know, yes, we can talk about the presence of God as in, you know, him being with us. But I think in many ways that really is the greatest present that we can receive is this presence of God. I mean, when you really think about it, if you don't have the presence of God, what do you have? What can you rely on? Right? I think of human relationships and I think of friendships that have been started and then lost. You know, I think of times that friends have been there and then something has happened and they've disappeared. Or those times where you've got someone and, you know, they've made a promise. They've made a commitment. They're saying, "We're going to do this." And then it all falls through. You know, even nowadays, marriage isn't even a done deal that's going to happen forever. I mean, it never has been because someone's going to die, right? Like, most marriages don't end with both people dying just comfortably in their sleep at the exact same time. That doesn't happen very often. And so there's loss involved in human relationship. We will look for the presence of another person in our lives. We'll look for some kind of back and forth, some give and take, some love that we can show and also receive. But all human relationships eventually fail for one reason or another. It's kind of a sobering and depressing thought when you really think about it. It's kind of lonely. How many people in our society, maybe even in this church building here today, are struggling with feelings of loneliness, of thinking, you know, who cares about me? You know, what friends do I have? These feelings that we wrestle with sometimes, we can be in a room full of people and yet we can still feel alone. We can still consider who are the people that I have a meaningful relationship with and look at it and go, "I can't think of anyone." And yet God offers us his presence. Now, I want you to clarify something here. Oftentimes when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about us feeling like God is there. You know, that happy-go-lucky, like, "Oh, church was so good today, God was there." That kind of thing. That's what we tend to think of with the presence of God. But the fact of the matter is even when we don't feel like God is there, even when we're in the midst of difficult circumstances that make it feel like God is not walking with us, he's there. He's there. God is always present. And so really, what I think is an amazing thing and what we find in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is bringing you into the loving presence of the Father. This is the great truth that we're going to look at today is that you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to think that God is some distant being. You don't have to think that God says, "You know what? You can only come to me if, you know, if you're really good today, then maybe, just maybe, I'll say, yeah, I'll be around you. But otherwise, I'm going back up and sitting on my throne." That's not the way that God works, because Jesus is bringing you into the loving presence of the Father. And so as we've been going through the book of Hebrews together, we've been learning about how this author of Hebrews, he's writing to a congregation, to the church of Jewish converts into Christianity, and he's calling them back because they're going through a rough time. You know, everyone is looking at them and they're saying, "Hey, things are different now. Why aren't you making sacrifices anymore? Hey, why are you following that Jesus guy? And they're coming under immense persecution. So some of them were thinking, you know what, maybe if I just back off a little bit, maybe if I just dial it back, maybe if I just don't tell other people about Jesus, maybe if I just go and I start practicing Judaism instead, maybe is all this stuff compatible? How can this all work? And so the author of Hebrews, as we've looked at over the last few weeks, he's coming in there and he's saying, no, but Jesus is greater. He's greater than that thing over there. He's greater than your old ways of doing things. He's greater than the high priest of the tribe of Levi that you guys rely on to offer sacrifices on your behalf. And now today we come to chapter 8. And so we're going to focus in just on chapter 8, verses 1 through 6 today. So let's read this together. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to look in your word, in the Bible, that we're able to learn things and learn truths that encourage us, that challenge us, that push us forward in our relationship with you. And today, God, I ask that you will encourage us as we learn about the presence that you have around us, God, that you aren't abandoning us, that you're with us, God. And Lord, I ask that you will challenge us to share this with others. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage here, you know, we talk about, well, okay, so what is Jesus saying is greater? What is the author of Hebrews saying Jesus is greater than here? You know, Pastor Stephen, you have this nice Jesus is greater title, and I didn't see it saying anything here. You know, last week you had Jesus is greater than the high priest. That one was obvious. So what are we looking at here? I'm glad you asked. We read here about this thing, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, this tent. And then we see that Jesus doesn't minister in this tent, but that he ministers up in heaven. He doesn't minister in the old sanctuary. He ministers in the new sanctuary. And when we look at these things, what we really come down to is that the sanctuary it symbolizes God's presence. It's all about the presence of God. And so, as we've talked about before, in the old covenant, in the old way of doing things, you'd go into the sanctuary or the tabernacle. And by you, I don't mean actually you. I mean the priest would go into this tabernacle, and once a year he'd go into this most holy place where, you know, God's presence was, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he would do these sacrifices in front of the altar, in front of the mercy seat, sorry. And as he did that, the presence of God would be there, and there would be this thing where God would meet humankind, where our sins would be forgiven. But man, can you imagine being the people on the outside? Like you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, so we brought our animals and now he's taking it over there and he's going to meet with God and I guess everything will be okay. Like there's this disconnect. You know, God's over there and I'm here. God is cut off by this curtain and I'm over here. And that's kind of what the sanctuary was to these people. Yeah, the presence of God is with us, but the presence of God is over there. It's kind of locked away. But then you've got Jesus. You've got Jesus, and he brings us into something greater. Remember, we've talked about before how Jesus brings us to a place where we can confidently approach the throne of grace, where we can confidently approach God, that Jesus is now our high priest in heaven, our mediator, that he brings us before the Father. He brings us into this place of presence. And so here's what I want you to understand, is that God wants you to live in his presence. He does. God wants you to live in his presence. God didn't create the world and say, well, see you guys later. I've got better things to do now. Okay, we read in Genesis that God would come and he'd take walks in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and visit with Adam and Eve, that he was present with them, that he didn't just leave them alone and say, well, you know, whatever. In fact, we as human beings, we are created to have the presence of God with us. We're created to have this relationship with God. We are relational beings. And of course, the fall happened. And that made things difficult, didn't it? See, your rebellion disqualified you from anything but a shadow. God wants you to live in his presence, but your rebellion disqualified you from anything but a shadow. You see, we're told here that the tabernacle is a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. You remember last week how we were talking about Jesus being a greater priest than Melchizedek, who is a greater priest than the tribe of Levi, right? And we talked about fax machines and about how ridiculous fax machines were. You couldn't read anything that came out the other end on a fax machine, that it was just a copy, it was a shadow, it was a facsimile. And so we come to this kind of analogy here again, that the tabernacle where the people of Israel were worshiping, it was just a shadow, it was just a copy. God had talked to Moses and he'd said, hey, you see this thing here, the heavenly reality, this is how you're going to build it here on earth. And so Moses is putting together these plans, which are then built by human beings out of stuff from earth. And we all know that stuff from earth, it doesn't last forever. It burns down, it breaks, it gets dirty and dusty. We all know that human beings, no matter how hard we try to make things perfect, we always make a mistake. And so the tabernacle is this imperfect earthly shadow, this copy of the heavenly reality of where God dwells. And whereas the Levites are priests here on earth in this tabernacle, you've got Jesus in the heavenly tabernacle, in the heavenly sanctuary, where the very presence of God dwells, and he's acting as our priest there, and he's saying, hey, and guess what? Yeah, I'm the high priest, but I'm inviting you up here too. And so you see, before Jesus, the tabernacle was really as good as it could get, because we were disqualified from heaven. We were cut off from it, because we didn't have Jesus as our mediator. And so the presence of God, it was kind of this distant thing. He was there. But listen, people, friends, with Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. Do you understand what that means for you? Do you understand that he's not distant from you, but that if you follow Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, that the Holy Spirit of God, that God is in you, that he is present in you all the time. And yet back then, and for those that don't follow Jesus, they're under this Old Testament law. They're not under New Testament grace. They're in this impossible situation, in this separation from God. But here's the great thing, is that Jesus has made a way for you to dwell in God's glorious presence. Jesus has made a way for you to dwell in God's glorious presence. Jesus is bringing you into the loving presence of the Father. And what a gift that is. And that's the reason why when we celebrate communion, there's so many things that can go through our minds as us being thankful for when we do that. And for some of us, it might just be, you know, I have a Father who loves me now. For some of us, it may be that, you know, I was just feeling condemned in myself. I was feeling stuck, but now I'm free. Now I'm forgiven. But for other people, it might just be that you're saying, you know, before I was feeling so alone. I had no one with me. I had no relationship with anyone. God was just this distant thing that maybe existed, maybe didn't. But now, because of Jesus, I have the presence of God with me. I have access to God Most High. I am His because He loves me. Because Jesus is bringing you into the loving presence of the Father. What a gift. What a gift it is, the presence of God. Why is it a gift? Well, it's a gift because we didn't deserve it. You know that, right? I think a lot of us tend to think, I'm a really good person. I'm a really good person. I don't have any traffic tickets, I give faithfully to the poor. I run around and I do this good thing and that good thing, and I've never hit anybody, and I've never talked bad about anybody behind their back, and I've never done drugs, and I've never smoked, and I've never drunk alcohol. And back in the day when it was wrong, even though it's not now, I never went bowling, and I never played cards, and I'm a good person. So I deserve this stuff. And God says, no, you don't, because you're not a good person. You can be the best person ever, and you're still living in rebellion against God. You still don't deserve the presence of God. He gives it as a free gift of grace. He gives it to you as a present. And so in Jesus, Jesus has made a way for you to dwell in God's glorious presence. Jesus is bringing you into the loving presence of the Father. What a gift. When we talk about the loving presence of the Father, I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity for anybody that maybe isn't in a place where they feel like they're walking in the presence of God to give their lives to Jesus. Because you see, if you've given your life to Jesus, then you are in the presence of God. Then you have the Holy Spirit. And you, like I said, you may not always feel it, but it's there. If you believe in Jesus, if you say, Jesus, you're my master, and I trust in you that what you've said is true, and that you have forgiven me, that you died on that cross and rose again for me, that you are the Son of God. I would just want to give an opportunity for anybody that maybe, you've been going through the motions, but you're recognizing that you have never actually given your life to Jesus, that you're not really walking with Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity at the end of this message today. I'm going to ask you, when nobody's looking around, to raise your hands so that I can be praying for you, and we're going to pray a prayer of commitment to Jesus. Because I want you to be able to know this presence. I don't want it to be something that's so distant from you, but I want you to know that God is with you. And so that's in just a moment, but first I want to talk to all of us here again. And I want to share with you that if you truly believe that you are saved, that you have given your life to Jesus, then you have great things to look forward to. Because see, Jesus isn't just in you right now. The Holy Spirit isn't just surrounding you in His presence. But there's something even greater to look forward to, because one day you're going to be in glory with God. And let me tell you that it's great, the presence of God now. But one day there's going to be something so amazing that your relationship, that intimate relationship with God, our Father, will be fully realized in heaven. So here's what I want you to do. When you go home today, I want you to read Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 to 22, verse 5, in anticipation of that day when your intimate relationship with God is fully realized. It's a mouthful. If you go to ascc.life and tap on message notes, you can email this to yourself so that you remember. Revelation 21, 22 to 22, verse 5. If you don't have a mobile device, will you write this down? I want you to read this when you get home. And then here's the other thing. It's easy to read our Bible, right? Some people might not agree with me, but it's easy to read our Bible. But where things really come to fruition, where the rubber really meets the road, is when we read our Bible and we're changed by it and we recognize that there's something that we need to do in response. And what we do in response, that's not something that's going to save us. It's not going to make God look at us and go, you know what? You were saved before, but I was kind of holding some of that saving back, and because you did this, I'm going to give you the rest of it. That's not what it's about, but us being people under grace, being people living in the presence of God, being people who recognize the great, glorious presence of God and relationship with Him that we're moving into in the future, how can we not go forward and invite others to join us in God's presence? When we look around the world and we see people who are so utterly alone, so utterly afraid, living in shame and squalor, just stuck in the mud and not sure how to move forward, who walk around and say, well, what's God ever done for me? Or who walk around and say, well, society's forgotten me. I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I don't have friends. I don't have family. When we can go to them and we can say, well, let me tell you about someone who never leaves you, who will never forsake you. Let me tell you about someone whose love is greater than any love that exists here on earth or in heaven above. Let me talk about my God. Let me talk about the way that Jesus is bringing me into the loving presence of the Father and that He has offered to bring you into the loving presence of God our Father. So yeah, this life, it's tough. Frankly, this life sometimes sucks. But God, He's with us. And they might say, God couldn't possibly be with me. You don't know me. You can say, friend, you don't know me. Friend, you don't know what Jesus did for you. He's already done it all. Friend, you don't know that Jesus is standing before God saying, God, that guy there, he's a good one. That guy there, I died for him. And God's up there in heaven, He's saying, I love you. Just come to me. Just come to me. And Jesus is our high priest. His death, His resurrection, His blood that was shed on that cross, it covers over your sins. It covers over those wrong things that you've done. And it's not about you. Jesus already did it. Jesus already paid the price for you. He loves you. And I know that I've been going on about this, but I also know that for some of us, it's really hard to share the good news of Jesus. And so I want to let you know that as we've been going through Hebrews, we've been answering some of the questions people are going to ask you. Well, I'm not good enough. Or what about these other faiths? Or what about death? Or what about God's presence? There's these openings that you have. There's these things that you're able to say to people as you just grasp the passion that should be within your heart as you recognize the presence of God within you and the need for the presence of God in our community. And as you go forth and you begin to share it with others. And so this here, this on the screen is what I'm inviting you into today, into this week. Learn more about the presence of God and share it with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be brought into your presence. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the presence that we have with you. And I ask, Lord, today that you'll give us a heart for those that don't know you, that you'll give us a heart for those who don't have your presence upon them, God, that you'll strengthen them, that you will bring your Spirit into their lives and just begin to work in them and soften their hearts to the good news of Jesus. And Lord, send us as your church and the churches around this community, send us into these places throughout Pincher Creek, into the places in this community that maybe we don't want to go to, and the places in this community that we're already in, and the places in this community that seem unreachable and untouchable to us, Lord God. I ask that you will give us opening into those places, that you'll help us as the people of God to be creative, to be innovative as we go and we share the good news. And Lord, that as people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, God, that you will be the one that gives us the words to say to people as they ask us questions, as they challenge us, as we go forward and we're not sure what to say. Holy Spirit, place those words in our hearts. And even as we mess things up in our humanity, Lord God, let us have the confidence that you go before us and you are working before us and that you come after us and that you're working after us and that you're there with us in the times that we are saying things that just seem dumb. God, that we can trust in you to do the work. So, Lord, we thank you today for this in Jesus' name.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ASCC.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ASCC.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.